It is that time of year. Is it? We've been talking the last couple of weeks. Is it the most wonderful time of the year? We've got our friend, the Grinch, who stole Christmas, gave it back, but stole it nonetheless. And we're talking about the joy of Christmas. If you're familiar with this movie or this story, the book, the nursery rhyme, any of those things that Dr. Seuss wrote, you know that the whole point of this is that you've got this guy, this Grinch, this whatever he is, this outcast who, and can't stand the idea of Christmas. And then you've got Whos who live in Whoville, and they love Christmas. I mean, they prepare for it all year long, and then the day that it comes, it's just this big thing, and he gets the idea that, well, I'm going to steal it and keep it from coming. But as you know, he takes everything, the tree, the roast beast, the stockings, all of that stuff. And he's up there thinking that he has overcome this Christmas thing, this joyous time. But what does he hear? The singing of the Christmas carols. And he says, well, there was no boxes or ribbons or bows or presents or trees or anything. But Christmas came. It came just the same. He realizes that it isn't the stuff. It isn't the wrapping or the decorations. There's something inherent about Christmas. With all of the hurriedness, all of the financial woes, as we talked about last week, sometimes when it just doesn't go as planned and there's a lot of disappointment or if there's a lot of heartache and it is, sometimes it's associated with especially the holidays, there's a disappointment, there's a struggle that goes with it for a lot of people. But regardless of that, there's an inherent joy in the middle of all of that comes with Christmas, with God being with us. And if you're paying attention over the last few weeks, or even remembering, I don't think that people remember every single sermon. I understand that. It's like you don't remember every single meal you've ever eaten, but you know you ate something, right? All right, you might not remember every single sermon you've ever heard, but I have to trust in God and the Holy Spirit that it gets embedded in there somewhere, the Word of God, and it comes out as needed. But if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Luke chapter 2. We've already talked about the shepherds this season. Well, we're going to talk about them again because there's only so many passages you can go to when you're preparing Christmas sermons, and the shepherds just happen to be a good one. So if you remember that, we talked about them in a whole different light. We're going to talk about the idea of the joy that's inherent in Christmas. And we're going to look at the effect that was had on the shepherds. And the reality is that regardless of how ordinary a day is, regardless of how frustrating a time of year might be, regardless of how disappointing things might be, regardless of any of our circumstances, we can experience godly joy because of Christmas. And it doesn't just have to be one time of the year. It doesn't just have to be, you know, from the moment Thanksgiving is over until, you know, about noon on the 25th. It doesn't have to be that. Christmas, God with us, can bring about this amazing, life-changing joy regardless. Now, the one thing I want us to look at is that in this passage you have, and we should be familiar with it. We've heard it every Christmas. This is the second time we've heard it this year. But when the angels appear to them, they say, we've got some really good news, but it's great joy. You see, the fact is that the first thing that we can realize, the number one thing about Christmas that brings joy, is that we can have joy of a Savior. They come to Him and they say, guys, we've got some good news for you. And We've heard that before. Hey, I've got the bad news and I got good news. Oh, okay, give me the bad news or what. But, you know, that's a phrase that we've heard before. I've got good news. But the thing about it is that I've got good news, but it's great joy. The word there in the Greek is M-E-G-A-S, megas. I've got megas joy for you. I've got good news, just good news. But what's going to bring you is this megas joy. And that's the same word that we get mega, you know, megabit, megatron, mega whatever. The idea mega. If something's mega, it's just beyond big. It's beyond good. It's beyond powerful. And that's what he's saying is that, guys, what I'm about to tell you, this news that's good, well, the joy that comes with it, it's great. It transcends any circumstance that you might have, any disappointment, any average, ordinary, daily life experience. This joy is overwhelming. See, we have to, then what's the news that he tells me? He says that, you know, don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy. And it will be for all the people. Verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior is born. See, true salvation brings mega joy. And I've said before, I like to watch, you know, not your average, I don't like to watch a lot of network television. I like to watch the obscure cable shows. You know, I love the Gold Rush shows, love the, you know, Edge of Alaska, Living in Alaska, you know, all that kind of stuff. I love those shows. One of my favorite shows is I Shouldn't Be Alive. Anybody ever seen I Shouldn't Be Alive? Great show. All kinds of tragedy happens to people and they live through it. One of my favorite episodes, father and a daughter, small plane flying over the desert. Engine trouble, plane crashes, they survive. Oh, we shouldn't be alive. Plane crash. That's not it. They stay at the crash site because, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. They stay there for a couple of days. And, I mean, the sun's just beating down them. They're in the middle of nowhere. They stay there. They think, we'll be rescued. Well, it's obvious nobody's coming for them. They haven't seen anybody. They don't know. I mean, they're out in the middle of nowhere. They run out of food. They run out of water. They start walking. They get, you know, as you do, as you're supposed to when you're in the desert, you got to make a little thing over your head out of like a T-shirt or something. And, you know, so they get the little thing over their head, tie it on, you know, so they're both just walking. I mean, you know, the lips get all chapped. They get sunburned. They're just, I mean, they're dying. They walk for like two or three days and they come to this like pathway, this dirt road kind of thing out in the middle of nowhere. And they think surely somebody's going to come by. So they sit down. Nobody comes. They stay there, you know, evening and morning, another day. And then the father just looks at the daughter and she couldn't have been more than 10 years old. And they think, well, this is it. We're going to die. You know, they embrace, hug, I love you too. And they're just going to lay down. They're just going to let, I mean, what can you do? They can't go on. They're out of energy. They're out of food. They're out of hope. They're out of everything. There's nothing that's going to save them at this point. So they both resign themselves to the fact that they're going to die. And they kind of just lay down under this only little scraggly bush next to this dirt pathway. And just both of them, they just said, and we lay down to die. They don't know how long they were there. They hear this noise. Sounds like an engine of a vehicle. The girl said, she opened her eyes and she could see coming towards them a truck. In the middle of nowhere. Resigned to die. Here comes somebody in a truck. Now, where that guy came from, don't remember, not important. They were saved, but what I do remember and what I want to express this morning is that in their state of about to die, of hopelessness, when they saw that they were saved, there was this wellspring of energy, of joy, of real I can't believe this. And at one point, they couldn't even lift a finger. And when there was a Savior coming, all of a sudden then they could stand, they could wave, and were saved and draw attention. And the joy just welled up inside of them. The new energy of adrenaline from the great news that there was salvation coming down that road. We can experience that in the heightened sense of exhaustion of our everyday lives, of the monotony of what it is to live on this broken place, in the hopelessness at times when we understand that there is great news of a real Savior. Friends, that is joy. That is real energy-producing, life-saving joy. So not only do we have the joy of a Savior, but we have the joy of peace. What did the angel say to those shepherds? Verse 8, the shepherds were living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks. Angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Now, if you go back and you look at the Christmas story, and any really other story for that matter in the Bible where an angel of the Lord appears or God shows up or anything supernatural happens, and that's really what we're asking for, right? We're asking for something in our lives supernatural to happen. I mean, that's why we're here. I mean, we're here this morning to experience something supernatural. And the first thing that we have to understand is that what God wants us to know is do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid to open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our consciousness to the possibility of God showing up in a mighty way. So don't be afraid. Christmas story, back to that point. Look at any along the way of the Christmas story, whether it was Zacharias, whether it was Mary, whether it was Joseph. What does the angel of the Lord say to them over and over and over? Do not be afraid. I think a lot of times in our life, and maybe especially at this Christmas season, we get so busy. And busy's not bad. I mean, I'm very busy. Busy's not bad. But I think a lot of times we get so busy and so consumed with all of the things that go along with life and the season and for no other reason but to stay utterly and absolutely distracted. Because the idea of seeing God, of having God show up and tell me something, scares us to death. I've said this since 2005. The most commanded thing in all of Scripture is what? Say it louder. My kids better speak up. Most commanded thing in all of Scripture, do not be afraid. They're looking at each other like, I knew that. Over and over our God tells us, I bring you joy. What do you mean, what joy? Don't be afraid, I bring you peace. God does not want us to live in fear. But in Philippians 4 and 7, he says, the peace of God that transcends all of our understanding. Colossians 1 and 20 said that Jesus has made peace with us. Us and who? Us and God. Through His blood. His blood that started pumping through His veins. The conception between Mary and the Holy Spirit of God. That was made manifest through the birth. That was carried on to completion, the cross. God wants us to live in peace. And I'm not talking about a peace between nations, although that is desirable. And I'm not talking about a peace between neighbors, although that is something that we also want. I'm not talking about a peace in the home. I'm talking first and foremost about a peace between us and God so that we're open to the mere possibility of Him showing up in a mighty way. Of Him telling us of this great news, of this good news that is great joy. And the last thing this morning, not only is there a joy of a true Savior, and guys, we have to believe. Each one of us has to believe that we are lying in the dirt on the roadside, ready and admitted that death is the next experience. We have to believe that that's who we are spiritually before God. Or a Savior is just, okay, it's just like, hey, I bring you great news. There's a Schwann's man going to come in your neighborhood. You might know what a Schwann's man is. They have Schwann's men down here? Yeah, okay. I mean, hey, ice cream truck's coming. I mean, that's good news. That's decent joy. But it's a great joy. But if you're dying, and there's somebody coming down the road to pick you up, that's great joy. We have to believe that's who we are. And we have to want peace between us and God and accept it. And the last thing is that there is joy in faith. See, faith responds to the Word of God. It's one thing to say, oh, I believe. This time of year, everyone believes. And I think that we throw that word around like it doesn't mean really anything. Like it's a catchphrase, a punchline. Say, oh, I believe. I mean, we have shirts. I believe. I believe. Do we really believe? I mean, do we really, honestly believe? Because belief, real faith, acts like it. I'm treading on dangerous ground here when I talk about I believe. And I'm trying to survey the audience and make sure that I am safe in saying this. So I'll just hint. Do you really believe, Mom and Dad? Okay, go to bed on the 24th, about 9:30. And then wake up. See what happens. Those with little children at home. You know what I'm talking about, right? Just, hey, have dinner, sing some songs, watch, Charlie Brown's Christmas special. All right, I'm going to hit the hay. Go to bed. I mean, do you really believe? Because we say, oh, I believe. But you know what we're going to do? Oh, you know what we're going to do. We're going to make sure that what needs to happen happens. Now, when we say we believe, when we say that we believe that there is great news, good news of that there's great joy, does our faith respond to the Word of God? Do we believe what we see? Do we believe what we hear? Because just like these shepherds, it will change where we are. No longer will our day just be ordinary. No longer will we just do what we got up to do this morning. When we have the joy of faith, then it will move us from where we are to where God has called us to be. He said, this is what's happening. And they said, let's go see. Let's go hear. And then look how they came home. Mary pondered these things up in her heart, but the shepherds, they returned. They went back to their ordinary lives, their shepherding. They went back to all that they had done before, glorifying, praising God. They went back to everyday life. But the joy of faith had changed it. It was different. They were praising God. They were glorifying Him. How is God calling us to go back to our normal everyday lives, because that's what's going to happen. The holidays are, they're upon us. I mean, how many shopping days left? Two or three. And it's going to happen. And then guess what? Oh, then, okay, we got that week of limbo, which is between Christmas and New Year's, and we really don't know, what do I do? I'm really full. Got this sugar coma thing going on. But then New Year's happens. Okay, and we all decide, oh, we're going to be different. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to lose weight. You know, and then what? Then like January the 19th happens and life is normal. Everybody's back in school. Everybody's, you know, getting those bills. Oh my goodness, we bought that much, you know. How can we, with the joy of faith, go back to everyday life, praising God, glorifying Him for what we've seen and heard? Well, we have to believe that there is peace between us and God, or we won't want to see and hear anything from Him. We have to believe that we have a Savior, that He has put peace between us through the blood of Christ, that we were dead, but we are now alive, and that there is nothing to fear, or we won't want to see and hear anything but jingle bells and up on the rooftop, and then just let everything go back to normal. But for us, it can't go back to normal. We've got to go back praising and glorifying God. How is God trying to use you in a mighty way this year? Bring about the great joy of Christmas, of God with us. And what message of great joy is He trying to get through to the world through you and me? This year, it's Christmas. Can God with us change where we are in a mighty way, where we can leave our normal lives for this amazing transcendent event and then go back praising and glorifying? What can we do? What great joy can we have this Christmas? This morning, I call on you to search your heart. To search your heart and to find out, where are you in the ordinary, average, mundane, boring life that is a broken existence in a broken world? And can you allow the angel of God, the presence of God, come and to give you good news of great joy that will change every tomorrow that you have? Can this Christmas last every day that we live? Can we celebrate the birth of Jesus in our lives, in return, praising and glorifying? This morning, if you have a change to make, if you want to accept that great joy, that good news this morning, to confess His name, to see and to hear, to be changed forever, to confess Christ, to be baptized, or maybe to be restored to that great joy, whatever your need is, I'll be up front. You can come forward. We can pray together. You can ask for the prayers of the church, whatever your need might be. Let us know as together we stand and as we sing.